starting that Yud-Ches Samud Aleph. I want to go back up a little bit just to start again from ten lines before it spreads. Just want to repeat this little piece to bring out its practical points. 10 lines before it spreads on Yud-Ches Samud Aleph, the first word on the line is Meisai, right? Okay, so at the end of the line, Meisai U'Meshamrei. Person, we said that if a person has his dead or is watching a dead body, he is exempt of the mitzvah. So, so now the Gemara asks. We saw this, I want to go through it again just to bring out the practical points. Meisai u'meshamrei in. This exemption indeed applies specifically to one's dead and to a dead body that one is watching, which implies that either has to be your dead or you have to be involved with it. But if you're just passing through a cemetery or near a dead body, then no exemptions. Vatanya. But the Braisa teaches otherwise. It says, Vayahalech Adam Bevei Sakvaris. A person is not allowed to go through the cemetery. Utfilin Beroishoi. With tefillin on his head. Vesefer Torah Bezroyoi. Or carrying a Sefer Torah in his arm. Vekoyre. And while he reads it. Meaning, you should not be doing mitzvahs.
He can carry a Sefer Torah just closed up in a cemetery?
Oh, so the truth is that no. The place can make it clear that these are two separate prohibitions. Don't carry a Sefer Torah, and don't say Torah. Now, I don't know how this works for all the Sfarim. I don't know. I didn't see the place can address it. They talk about a Sefer Torah. Well, can you walk in with a Gemara under your arm? People go to cemeteries with Tehillim, but that's because you're going to be saying it for the dead body. But can you walk in with a Gemara under your arm? I'm not sure. I don't know. But you certainly, what? But you certainly are not allowed to discuss any Torah in the cemetery. Once again, well, we'll see. When you're saying Torah with regard to the dead, that's a different story. Even that, not so clear. Hesped we're not talking about. But one of the things, for example, is interesting. If you just look in a place simply understood, a person shouldn't be saying Kaddish near a grave either. Now, certainly the Minhag HaOlam is not that way, to the best of my knowledge. I don't know all over the place. What, there are places that are makbid not to say Kaddish? They do say Kaddish. Oh yes, the Sfaradim do? Ah, so the simple understanding of the Paiskim is that in Okanami you shouldn't say Tehillim or Kaddish close to a grave. Yet there is widespread minhag yes to do it if space on halacha that when things that you're saying in honor of the dead person are okay. So essentially it's questionable. The minhag clearly has become to be meiko, and it's the Paiskim gave it their sanction. But you're telling us that this father Taka had that minhag. That would indeed work well with the essential halakha. Now, Kaddish, to the best of my knowledge, you say right up at the kevin. To the best of my knowledge, yeah. That's what's done, right? That doesn't help. We'll see momentarily. No, but you see that with the Sefer Torah we do say, just holding it is a problem. Yeah, but the fact that they're buried with it, we'll see. We'll see if that helps. Oh, okay, so now that's going to be coming up. Yeah, that's coming up. We'll see. Oh, we're going to discuss all this. Yeah. Okay. Now, ve'im ha'isekein, if you do engage in mitzvahs around a dead person, this also have to keep in mind. Sometimes people go, let's say, for a yard site. People get together at a kever. You can't discuss the daf. You have to remember that. Again, the tehillim that you're saying for the dead body, if someone is giving a dvar Torah at the grave, you know, the chvoid, the person, okay. But you have to remember that outside of that, you should not be talking Torah. There's something to remember. Now, I don't know. And you say Elilu Nishmasi, you could say it outside of Beis HaKvaros also. But the Tehillim is something that's clearly done with Kvay Demes. I don't know.
What about
Kivay Tzadikim? The phenomenon has developed to be completely makel. They hold minyanim by these Kvaros, etc. I don't know. But again, these are minhagim that are brought down in Sfarim. I'm not sure. I don't know what to say. What's that? No, the davening is a different story. For a person to give his own personal supplication, that we're not talking about. But we're talking about doing formal mitzvahs. So we're talking about, for example, people coming to the kever of Shimon bar Yochai, or to other kvarim. Maras ha-machpelah, right? We certainly cannot doubt that minig. It will come, talis, fill in, and hold the proper minion. With kriyas ha-tayra and everything.
And learn afterwards.
So, what's that?
And learn afterwards.
Sorry?
And learn afterwards.
And they learn afterwards. So there certainly has developed... that's something else. They're not doing it mamish at the kevin. They have
in
their
building.
In a building. A building is a separate rishus.
No one's holding minions inside the kevin. They're holding all their own within the building.
No, when you have a place like Rishon Bayachai or Maras HaMachpelah where they're mamish in the building where the kevin is. Not so simple. What's that? Okay, that's in the case of the Maras HaMachpelah, but in the case of Miron, or plenty of other places. What? Yeah. Well, there are specific tehillim that you say by a yard site, you know, the oisius neshama, is that also not for the dead? I don't know. Oh, you mean when you go to a kever stam and you daven for people? Oh, I also say tehillim. But then again, these are standardized tehillim that you say at a kever. I don't know the particulars of what's for what, but it seems to me that it's tehillim that you're saying with Kvod the Dead. Okay. Le'ilui Nishmas. Yeah. Okay. Now, ve'imoy sekein, and if you do these things, ha'iver mishum lo'yeg l'arosh cheref lo'yseyim. You transgress the pasuk that says, if you mock the poor, it's like mocking his maker. Again, same idea. Don't flaunt your mitzvahs in the face of the dead person who would love to have a chance to do a little more. So whatever it is, why are we saying that a person who has his dead lying in front of him, or a person who's watching a dead person, doesn't do mitzvahs? Anybody who's around a dead person doesn't do mitzvahs. So the Gemara answers, Hasam toicha ba amis u'dasa. If you're near a dead person, it's only after within 4 amis. Chutzar ba amis chayim. But outside the 4 amis is permitted. Sorry, you're obligated in all the mitzvahs. To Omar Ma, as it's been stated, meis toifes salad amis l'kriyat shema. A dead body captures, so to speak, the 4 amis around him. For Kriyat Shema purposes, you can't say Kriyat Shema. But Hocha Chutz L'Dalid Amis Nami Potter. But when it's a person's dead, or a person is watching a dead body, then even outside 4 Amis, you remain Potter. So here also, I just want to note that the way the Mishnah Berurah comes out L'Maisa. Okay, one thing is clear cut. If there's actually a body, so within 4 Amis of the body, you can't do mitzvahs. But what happens in a cemetery? How does that work exactly? What's that? It depends. There are, you can have places where there are roads and things like that. In the big cemeteries, there's all kinds of, you know, different roads and things. You could be in places where you have... There are also places where they have unused graves. Right? You could be in a place that you are distanced more than 4 amas from any particular grave. Now, here it gets very questionable. There are about a million opinions in the place about exactly how that works. The way the Mishnah Berurah puts it down in a general way is that it's best to be machmir once you're inside the walls of the cemetery. Even if you are still a long way away from the first kever. But essentially, as long as you're outside all the kvaris, right, you're not among the kvaris, essentially, as long as you're outside of the kvaris, even though you're inside the cemetery, you're allowed to do mitzvahs, etc., up to 4 amas from the outermost grave. Once you're between the kvaris, the Mishnah Berurah says, this applies even if you are distanced 4 amas from the nearest grave. Once you're in the middle and you're surrounded by graves, then these Yisurim apply. Again, this is subject to a lot of differing opinions in the Paiskim, but that's in a general way the way the Mishnah Berurah lays it down. Okay, so now we move on. Gufa. We'll go back to analyze the statement that we said before. Hameshamer es hametz. If a person is watching a dead body, even though it's not his dead, he's not a relative, he's a neighbor taking a shift. Pato mi kriyashma uminatfila uminatfilin. He is exempt from kriyashma, from davening, from tfilin, umikol mitzvah samuris batayra. And from all other mitzvahs in the Torah, here this is the exemption of oisek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. He's busy with a mitzvah, he's exempt from any other mitzvah. Now, here's the question you ask. Hayushnayim, what if there are two of them? They don't both need to be watching, so therefore, zem ishamer v'zekoyre, v'zem ishamer v'zekoyre, they switch off, one guards while the other goes off to say Kriyat Shema, and then vice versa. What's that? So generally speaking, we say mice and the like. But we'll see. Now Ben Azai says, Hayubayim basfina. If they're on a boat, menichoy bezovizu or mispalanim shneim bezovisacheres. They can both together leave him in one corner and daven in a different corner. Tanakam apparently disagrees with that. He says, no, whatever the case is, there always has to be one man on guard. Now, my binayu, what's the machlokes here? See, what's the problem? The problem is, we don't want to leave the dead body vulnerable to rodents and the like. So the question is, what happens on a boat? Tanakama holds, even on a boat you have to be worried. And therefore, don't leave him alone. Ben Azai says, no, on a boat you don't have to be worried about mice, and therefore you can leave him alone. Now, what's that? You don't want to have to be there at all. No, he's saying both can leave. No. Ben Azai says, on a boat, both can go away together. So we pass in the mice like the Tanakama, that you always have to be concerned that no circumstances can you leave the dead person alone because of the concern for mice, even on a boat. So as we mentioned the other day, how does this work today? Right? We have it in a fridge. Any mouse that's in the fridge is not going to be eating anything. So how does it work? So the mice comes out from the poiskim that the issue is not just the mice. The issue is also the respect of the dead, the dignity. It's not respectful, like we said the other day. You tell him, all right, funeral's on Tuesday at 10, I'll see you then. Up till then, wait around. No, it's not respectful that he died, that's it, we forgot about him now. Someone keeps on top of it. So it's an issue of covet. In addition, as we've quoted from the Chokhmah Sodom the other day, is deep spiritual issues of all kinds of spirits and things that can get to the dead body unless there's actually a live person there that they don't want to approach. So the Maisa, the Moshe Feinstein says, as we mentioned, that if practically speaking, there is no concern for mice, Shmira is still required, as we discussed, but on a bit of a more lenient level. You don't have to be there every minute. You can come and go, as long as there's a general presence. Others question that, based on the Chaya Adam, who says that, no, we're worried about the spirits. So the mice, at the end of the day, will say, yes, there is this talk of Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you encounter a situation where you see people do not want to rely on that, you understand that also. Both are legitimate approaches. No, so that we said that not. Lamaisa, we don't rule that way. Lamaisa, we rule that it's not just an issue of tending to the arrangement, it's also that issue of kavod hameis, and therefore, no. Even if you actually hired someone to take care of all the arrangements, aninus remains. The way the Shulchan Aruch puts it is, if a person actually appoints someone to take his stead, we won't protest if he does mitzvahs. But it's discouraged. It's not encouraged. Okay, we move on. A little bit more about the honor of the dead. Tana Rabbanan says in the Braisa, Hamoylich atzomois mimokoim lemokoim. If a person is transporting a body, atzomois means bones, but we mean a body, from one place to another. Now normally, I guess with your typical donkey, the way you work was, if you were transporting something, you set it up in a sack, in a padded sack, you put that over the donkey, and you sat on the sack. You want to do that with a dead body? So, do not put it in a sack. And put it on the donkey and ride on it. Even though that's normally the convenient way of riding with cargo, you don't do that with the body. Because you're treating it disrespectfully. It's certainly disrespectful to sit on a body as a saddle. Now, however, if he is worried, what do you do? You put the body behind you, over the donkey behind you. Now when you're riding that way, you have to ride a bit slower. It's harder to get it tied right, etc. So what happens if it's a dangerous journey and you're worried about goyim or about robbers? Mutter. Then you just need to move fast, put him right under you, sit down, don't think about it too much, and ride fast. Now, okeder shamu batzamos, listen to this. Just as they said about a body, kach amru b'sefer Torah. The same applies for a sefer Torah. Meaning what exactly? We'll see now. So let's see. So the Gemara says that, hey, what do you mean the same applies for a sefer Torah? Which din? Ilei ma'aresha? Are we talking about the first din? That you can't sit on a Sefer Torah? Shita! Obviously you can't sit on a Sefer Torah in normal circumstances. Migoram Sefer Torah me'at samais. Is a Sefer Torah any worse than? I was going to suggest the same. Okay. Is the Sefer Torah any worse than a body? Ela Sefer. Rather, the chiddush is the end of it. This is a chiddush. The end of the braisa. That if you need to ride quickly, or neko, for a body and for a sefer Torah as well. Imagine that. Riding on a sefer Torah. Now, Taisa says, it's not really a chiddush, Taisa says, because what's the alternative? That it'll be stolen. What? No, so we're not talking bikoach nefesh. We're talking that the danger is that they might rob it. So Tosfos says, it's not much of a chiddush. It's a bit better to ride on a Sefer Torah than to have Puerto Ricans carry it off. But the Rif says otherwise. Rif says that that's not so. He understands the Gemara differently. He says no. A Sefer Torah is always one notch up from a body. We say that with the body, you shouldn't sit on it normally. You have it behind you on the horse. For a Sefer Torah, that's not good enough either. Sefer Torah, you don't put behind you on the horse, you hold it. Hold it in front of you. Or even if you're not mamish holding on, it goes in front of you, it doesn't go behind you. Now, so he says, what's that? So it's in a dangerous situation, he says. When we say that it's the same as the body, we don't mean that you can ride on it. We mean, just like with the body, we take it a notch down, with the Sefer Torah, we take it a notch down. And therefore, you can put it behind you. But to sit on it, that never. Now what if it'll be taken away? Rabbi Nehemiah says something very surprising. Better to risk it being taken away than to sit on it. That's the approach of the risk. The seatbelt. That's the way to do it. That's we've seen that. We've seen that when they have the Geniza, the trucks that take away the Sheamus. It's like a big truck with a big dump truck in the back where they put all the Sheamus in. Sefer Torah doesn't go there. They have a special seat for the Sefer Torah with a special little seatbelt. Remember how they special little seatbelt. Like on the Sefer Torah seat, which is elevated. Very interesting. You have the driver's seat and the passenger seat, and the Sefer Torah seat is in the middle, elevated with the seatbelt. In the Sheamus trucks. They take it special. It's a special treatment. But that probably is, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Lamaisa, that it comes out Lamachloikis Lamaisa, meaning down to the poskim about what do you do if you have an emergency situation? You know, you're scared the Torah is going to get stolen. Can you ride on it or not? Some poskim Lamaisa are machmir, and they say no, better to risk it being stolen than to actually sit on it. Well, Lamaisa the shach, that's the latest opinion that I found. And the matter says that no, if it's actually going to be come down to really a question of it being stolen by non-Jews, you can actually ride on it, but he says do whatever you can to avoid that. I guess that should be obvious. Okay. Right. That comes, you take it away. Right. But there, taking it off is not a form of disrespect. Sitting on it, say, for Torah, is a little bit different. Yeah, but the question is how far you go. To sit on it? Questionable. Okay, we move on. Now here we have an interesting halacha. Omar Rechava. Omar Rav Yehuda. Kalaroye hameis ve'enoi milaveu. If you see a dead person going by and you do not escort it, that's also a transgression of the pasuk that says someone who mocks a pauper is like mocking his maker. So the Mepharshim explain, there's a profound point here. They say, Ritzvah, the Maharshal say this, they say, basically what you're expressing is this person, I'm not going to get anything out of him, and insulting him is not going to harm me either, and therefore why should I bother? Like he said, right? Even if we'll say that the dead can sense things, and the truth is that yes, the Sfarim say there's an issue of kavod, if they're aware of somehow or the other, the last respect is a literal concept, and also more than that, that somehow or the other, the more people at the Levaya makes things more pleasant. However that works, so the place can say that, so the Mepharshim say that here a guy figures, yeah, but this guy is never going to affect me anyways, right? Why should I bother? It's a scary underlying point here, that often the chesed that's done is because I want the person to see that I'm doing chesed for him. I want to keep in his good graces. Here's a guy that I don't have to worry about his good graces, and therefore, forget about it. Scary thing. And therefore, that's called mocking a pauper. It's the same idea. People feel comfortable insulting a pauper. Why? What can he ever, you know, how will he ever affect my life? This is a beggar sitting on the floor. I can spit at him. What will he ever be able to do to me? What do I risk losing? So that's how it is with a poor person also, Rachmana Litzlan. And the Mefarshim add, that's called mocking his maker, because Hashem says, he might be in a bit of a helpless state right now, but at the end of the day, I'm his guardian, right? It's me, I'm in this picture too. His honor is my honor. And therefore, by saying, I have nothing to get out of this guy anyways, it's kind of like saying, I have nothing to get out of Hashem either. So that's why we say, a person who mocks a pauper is like mocking his maker.
So the
Shulchan Aruch says, if you see a funeral passing by, escort it 4 hours.
And then turn around?
4 hours. Then turn around. It's not so clear. It could be that you should wait until the mita is out of view.
Sometimes the funeral is really large, so it's taking a long time. Sometimes, let's say 10 to 15 minutes, so you don't have that kind of time, so you have to get
some. Usually it wouldn't take 10 to 15. You know what, I'd put it this way. When you talk about these massive funerals, it's a little different. But usually the situation is not such that it takes 10-15 minutes for the mita to get out of view. If it is, again, they simply understood halacha seems to be that once you walk 4 amos, you did your thing. But this is something to keep in mind. Do not ignore a funeral that you see passing by. Walk 4 amos. 4 amos, you paid your respects. Now you're off the hook. What's that? It seems that way. What was the lotion here? If a person sees a levaya. Now, the what's that? And right. Well, right. The place can, I mean, there's a little ambiguous discussion about these different circumstances. Like, what happens if you're at home, you see it from the window. You're at home and you see it from the window. So, it's ambiguous. Meaning there is room maybe to argue that that's a different rishus. And you might not necessarily be mechuyav to step outside. The paiskim also write that, let's say you have a better case. You're on a bus going this way and there's a funeral going that way. Now what? You're going to get off the bus? What? No, it says if you don't escort, it doesn't help that you're being taken away. No, but lemaisa, you can be meiko. The paiskim do suggest saying something, you know, just a little tehillim or something in honor of the dead body. But we'll say in a normal case where you are down on the street and you see a funeral passing by, don't ignore it. Walk the 4 amos. You did your thing. This is a Jew. A Jew. These halachas apply for Jews. Mace means a Jew. All halachas in Shas won't specify that it's always talking about a Jew, but these halachas apply to Jews. Now, the Emil Vo, if you do escort him, Maschoroi, what is your reward? Omar Avasi, Olav HaKosu Voimer. About such a person, the Pasuk says, Malve Hashem Choinein Dal. Now, the Gemara is making a little bit of a twist on this Pasuk. Let's first understand the simple understanding of the Pasuk. Malve Hashem Choinein Dal. A person who grants the poor person something is as though he's loaning Hashem. Hashem says, I lend you one. But now, Hashem says, I owe you one. But now the Gemara is expounding it as though it doesn't say Malve Hashem, Melave Hashem. A person who is gracious to a pauper, a dead person is the epitome of a pauper, is as though he's actually escorting Hashem. Meaning Hashem is saying, by you paying that person respect, I consider it as though you respected me. Similarly, Umechabdoi Choinein Evyoin. A person who is gracious to a poor, destitute man is as though he's honoring Hashem. So in other words, yes, the honor of a dead person, when we're dealing with the dignity of a dead person, it's the dignity of Hashem that's at stake. Okay. Now we're going to begin a classic sugya. Famous sugya that we're going to be busy with for a long time. Do the dead know what's going on around them? Big shaila. But before that, we're going to go through a little bit more practical halacha. Let's see. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yehuda's son have ushakli va'azli beveis hakvaris. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yehuda's son were once walking along in a cemetery. Have a kashad yetchelted Rabbi Yehuda's son. Rabbi Yehuda's son's tcheles, his tzitzis, were dragging along on the grave. Omar le Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said, Dalia, pick it up quickly. Don't let it drag on the grave. Kedei shelo yomru. We don't want them saying, Lemachar boin etzleinu. Tomorrow they're going to be joining us. V'achshav mecharfin haisanu. And now they're mocking us. So Omar le. So he said to him, Miyadi kule hai. What, are they that aware? What do they know? They're dead. Vaksiv. So the pasuk says, "Vameisim einam yodim uma." The dead don't know anything. It's fine. Omar lei. So he told him, "Very nice. You know a pasuk. Im karisa. Good. You learned the pasuk, but lo shanisa. Apparently, you didn't learn it twice. If you would have learned it twice, you would have thought about it a little more. Veim shanisa. And if you did learn it twice." Apparently you didn't learn it the third time. Right, we've been discussing lately that the first four times is not even called reviewing. It's just called figuring it out. So he's telling him, okay, you quoted this pasuk, but you haven't really studied it. And if you did learn it a third time, no one ever explained it to you properly. He goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. Ki achayim yoidim sheyamusu. Yes, it says the live know that they will die. That's the beginning of that pasuk. The live know that they will die, but the dead don't know anything. So when it says the live know that they will die, elu tzadikim. This refers to the tzadikim shebemisasan nikru uchayim. Who? Even after death are referred to as the live. There are people who are inherently live and inherently dead. Tzadikim are inherently live. They're live even after they die. Even after they die, they'll remain aware. Shenema. Sorry? Well, let's see. We have a whole book ahead of us. A long time we're going to spend on this. Trying to figure out exactly what they know and how much they know. We'll see. What's that? Oh, so what is Yehudim Shemim? It says that the live know that they'll die. What does that mean? So Rashi says that what it means is as follows. Live people are people who are conscious of death. They're always remembering the day of death. Again, death in the sense of leaving the body. Leaving the body. But for them, and that's why for them it's not death. Meaning, in other words, when a person focuses on his neshama, and a person is conscious of the fact that the body is a temporary shell, I'm going to be shedding it soon. He keeps focused on his neshama. His neshama continues to live afterwards. And therefore, it's just one continuous life. Life of the neshama. When a person shifts all of his life into his body, the body drops dead and then he's done. So, yes. They live know that they'll die. This refers to the tzaddikim who keep conscious of the day of death. Shenemar, we show a pasuk that expresses this. This is a pasuk describing the virtues of Benayahu ben Yehoyada. He was the head of the Sanhedrin in David's days. So his first praise was he was a live man. That's a praise. Rav Pa'alim, a man of many achievements. Mikabtzael, who came from Kabtzael. Hu hika shnei Ariel Moyov. He smote the two lions of Moyov. That's one achievement that he did. We'll see soon what all this means. Ve'hu yorad, And he also went down into a pit, a water pit, and he smote a lion there on a snowy day. Even if you've managed to beat a lion, have you ever tried it on a snowy day? So, these are his achievements. Now, what's really being stated in this pasuk? We're not just talking about wrestling matches with lions. What's the pasuk saying here? So the Gemara backs up to analyze these praises one by one. Ben Ish Chai. First of all, we say he was a live man. Atu Kuli Alma Bnei Mason Inu. But everybody else was dead. Ella. Rather, what we mean is as follows: Ben Ish Chai, he was a live man, meaning he was inherently and eternally alive. Shafilu Bemisasai Kuli Chai. Even after his death, he was still alive. And this is our basis for the concept that we see the tzaddikim referred to as live, even after they die. Rav Pe'olim Mikapse'el. Now we say, he was a man of many pe'olim, which simply understood means achievements, from Kapse'el. But we're going to expound this as follows. Rav Pe'olim Mikapse'el. We're expounding like this. Sheriba Bekibetz Pe'olim Latayro. He increased, Rav, instead of many, were expounding as increased. The kibitz, Kabtzael is actually something that he did. He gathered people for Hashem. Poyalim la, he gathered workers, laborers in Torah. He was Nerev Sanhedrin, and he was also one of the primary Torah teachers. Hui kosh ne'ariel moyov. He smote the two lions of Moyov. What are the two lions of Moyov? That he left nobody behind like him in the first or second Beit HaMikdash. There was nobody on his level of Torah scholarship. Why is this called that he smote the two lions of Moyav? The Beit HaMikdash is called the lion. We find it referred to in the Pesukim as Ariel. It was a fire lion. Okay? The Beit HaMikdash was referred to as the lion, as Ariel. Okay? So now, when it says he smote the two lions, it's referring to the two Beis HaMikdash, of Moyav. Why of Moyav? Who got the first Beis HaMikdash going? One of the famous Moabites of history, huh? David HaMelech, who was descended from Moyav. So, therefore, that's why the Beis HaMikdash are referred to as the lions of Moyav. And he smote those two lions of Moyav, meaning he left nobody like him in either of these two Beis HaMikdashes. What? Right, the second one was really just a build-off of the first one. A weaker build-off of the first one. Now, Behu Yorad Dehiko Esari B'Sei Chabar, he went down and smote the lion in a water pit, the Yom HaSheleg, on a day of snow. What does this mean? Some say the Tova Gzizi de Barda Venochas de Tova. The famous thing we hear about Chassidus Rebbe is he already did it back in those days. There was a din that a person who had a seminal emission was not allowed to learn Torah. Today this is considered a pious practice, but not the halacha anymore. It was discontinued. We're going to see all about that later in this chapter. But in earlier times, this was a din. A person who had a seminal emission, which meant a person who had relations was not allowed to learn Torah until he went to the mikveh. Now, apparently he one time had relations. It was an icy day the next morning, and the water pits were frozen. But he was desperate to get back to the Beis Medrash, wasn't going to be stopped. So he broke the ice in order to tovo, in order to go do his learning. That's like, what? Sorry? Oh, okay, there you go. Oh, there are people who do it today also. No? Some people look for attention in different ways. This is kind of like, you know, what's that? What's that? That's referred to as overcoming a lion. To do something like that is referred to as overcoming a lion. To break ice and go into the water. How you'll say, if so, why did these Meshuggahs do it? You see, gladiators, there were people who were willing to do crazy things. But that's overcoming a lion. They said about Reb Zalman Volozhiner, Reb Chaim Volozhiner's legendary brother, that he was one time, he needed to get a sefer, but the sefer had fallen behind a bookshelf. It was not the cheap kind of bookshelves that they make today. Then everything was heavy wood. I was talking about a whole bookshelf. Very, very heavy. New people to move it. He needed a sefer. So he started pacing back and forth in front of the bookshelf. And the people heard him saying to himself, he was pacing back and forth. It says, Loi bashamayimi, the pasuk says, about Torah. It's not in the heavens. So Rashi there says, because if it would be in the heavens, you'd have to go up and get it. Rashi says that. Right? So he was walking back and forth, pacing fast, saying to himself, if it would be in the heavens, you'd have to get it. If it would be in the heavens, you'd have to get it. Apparently he worked himself into a state, walked back and forth, until suddenly he grabbed the thing and moved it to the side. If it would be in the heavens, you'd have to get it. So that's apparently what Benyahu did here. Now, Ikeda Amri, others have a different version of what happened here. The Tana Sifra de Beirav Viyama de Sitra. He overcame a different lion on a wintry day. He took on a shear in Sifra de Beirav, in the Medrash Teiras Kayhanim, Medrash of Ayikra. It's one of the most complicated areas of Torah. Right? Remember, we learned Kudshim in the Daf Yomi. That's the thick of Kudshim. He took it on a wintry day. Apparently it was a freezing cold day. Nobody was able to come to the shear. But that was the subject he tackled on a day that everybody else figured should be an off day. Now, the Hamesim Einam Yodim Uma. And now we just finish off. And when we say that the dead don't know anything, what does that mean? Eilu Rishayim, that's referring to the wicked. Shebechayim Kruyim Mesim, that even in their lifetime they are referred to as the dead. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, when the Navi Yechezkel was accusing the king of Israel, he said, you are a wicked carcass, O king of Israel. That's a nice way to talk to a king. That was something that could only fly in the Jewish nation. Whatever it is, he's calling him a carcass. He's accusing him of being a Russia. He called him a carcass. Is that the Iba Yisema? If you want another source, it's from here. It says that when a person is sentenced to death, so the dead person should be killed by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now what does that mean? The dead person should be killed. Chayu, if you're talking about killing him, he's obviously still alive. No, that's the Pasuk's point. He's dead from the outset. He's a Rasha, he's dead from the outset. This is the source that, yes, the wicked are called dead even while they're alive. Yes, tshuva, the Rav Dessler says exactly that. Tshuva is tchiyas ha-meisim. Or tchiyas ha-meisim is tshuva. Yeah. Okay. I see it's getting a little complicated here Thursday night, so I'm going to see if we can work out to be perhaps an Ezra Snusha next Thursday night. Keep tuned.